Let's go to 1 John 1 if we could. 1 John 1 and learn some things that I know will be a blessing to your heart. 1 John chapter 1 verse 5. God says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." So our title this morning is Walk in the Light. Let's pray. Lord, we are grateful for the privilege of assembling around the Word of God and around Jesus Christ, and pray that you would now meet with us and speak to every heart and meet every need and work miracles. And we pray you'd guide us, and we pray you'd be pleased and glorified with our response to your Word, with our attention to your Word, Lord, and with what's said. And so we give you this service, and we are grateful again for it, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is the message, he says there in verse 5. God is light. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that our God, the creator of the universe, is a God of light, a God of holiness, a God of righteousness. And as it says, there is no darkness in God. God has no evil in him. As a matter of fact, the Bible says he is of purer eyes than to behold evil. And he is the light. Jesus came in John chapter 8, if you want to turn there, verse 12. And when Jesus made the claim of being the light, that's one of the 12 I Am's of the Gospel of John, Jesus was claiming to be Jehovah. When he said here in John chapter 8, verse 12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Jesus is the light of the world. He came to bring light to a dark and dying world. And the day that we get saved, we are transformed from darkness to light. Praise God. While you're in John, look at chapter 12, verse 46. Jesus again speaking, he says, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." Jesus came to rescue us from the darkness, that we might walk in the light, which is what our passage is about today. God's will is that we not only be the light, which is a done deal if we're saved, it's doctrinally already true, but that we daily walk in the light. And that is our decision. That is a conscious decision, whether we choose to walk in darkness or walk in light. And God's will, of course, is that we walk in the light. Go back to our passage, 1 John 1, verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. I love that word, fellowship. We often use the word in referring to coming to church, and it's very appropriate. But that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about having fellowship with God. And if we claim that we are fellowshipping with God and simultaneously walking in darkness, God says that we are a liar. Up in verse 3 of the passage, notice it says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." God's will is that we fellowship with one another while simultaneously fellowshipping with our Lord. And we all understand how important that is, that we spend time with God. Fellowshipping with him in our prayer closet, fellowshipping with him through the day. The Bible says we're to pray without ceasing. Our fellowship is with the light or it's with the darkness. And he says there in verse 6, if we say we have fellowship but we walk in darkness, can a Christian walk in darkness? Sadly, yes. And sadly, many do. Notice over in chapter 2 of 1 John verse 11, "But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness." This is written to Christians. That's why he uses the word brother. He's not talking about your physical brother. He's talking about your spiritual brother, your Christian brother. And he says that if you hate your brother, you are walking in darkness. Because loving one another is the great commandment for us regarding our interaction with each other, isn't it? God says we're doing the opposite. If we're actually hating our brother in any particular way, we're already walking in darkness. It goes on to say in that same verse at the end, "Darkness hath blinded his eyes." And how many times do we meet Christians? They have all this bitterness in their hearts, all this anger because of something that someone's done to them in the past, and they refuse to forgive. God says they're walking in darkness. They love God. They might go to church. They might even read their Bible. But they're still walking in darkness until they get that sorted. And that's just one example. If you go to 2 Peter 2, there's the example of Lot in the Old Testament. And of all the people that we could say, well, there's no way he was saved based on his behavior. It's just that much more proof that you can't judge people's hearts by their behavior. You can't decide, and like we talked in the parable this morning, we have no way of knowing who the weed is and who the tares are based on their behavior, because you can be saved and act like the devil, or you can be unsaved and act like an angel. That's just the way it works. And Lot was an example of someone who, believe it or not, was saved, and yet every indication outwardly was that he was being led by the devil. And it says there in verse 6 of 2 Peter 2, "Turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot." See that word just? Nothing in his behavior implied he was just. "Vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked." There was the problem. When Lot was given the option by his uncle Abraham, you can have the fields, you can have the hills. He saw the fields, he saw the green grass. And he said, well, okay, yeah, Sodom and Gomorrah is there, but it still looks like a nice place. And before you know it, he wasn't in the fields, he was in the city. And lost all of his kids to sin. And they all perished in the fire and brimstone. But what happened? He was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Verse 8, "That righteous man," so we know he was saved, "dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with unlawful deeds." So there's a definite biblical example of someone who has light, but they're walking in darkness. They're walking with sin, walking with the world, even though they have the light of Jesus Christ. Now another example, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. If you turn over there, New Testament, and verse 14. God here warns us about yoking with unbelievers. Now you can take the word yoke to mean what you want it to mean. But I think it definitely would apply to things like marriage, going into business together, making them your best friend. This is God's word. He says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" This is God speaking. He says, what communion has light with darkness? We're talking about walking in the light. He says, they can't commune with each other. Therefore, we have to be ever so careful as children of light that we don't find ourselves walking in darkness. Look at one more, Ephesians 5:11. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. God says, here's that word fellowship again. and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. He's talking to Christians. He says we must not have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. We must not be unequally yoked with darkness, because we are commanded to walk in the light. Back to our passage, 1 John 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light. As I mentioned, it's already true doctrinally. The day we got saved, we were transformed from darkness to light. We have the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, living in us in the person of the Holy Ghost. But what is God saying? He's saying that now, as we are already possessing the light, He wants us to walk in the light. Walking implying what we're doing with our lives. We're moving forward. We're going somewhere. Are we walking in the light or are we walking in darkness? And this implies a lot of different things. But God is talking about our testimony here, that we need to be a reflection of someone who has the light of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:8 says, "Your light in the Lord, walk as children of light." In other words, be an example of what you claim to be, which is a Christian, walk as a child of light. So our testimony is part of that, but also the leading in our lives is implied here as well. Are we being led by the light? Are we being led by God? Or are we being led by darkness? And, you know, we talked a little bit about this in Sunday school when it comes to all the charismatic craziness out there. But for Christians who believe the Bible, believe the Word of God, is it possible to be led by darkness? Sadly, yes. And we have to be ever so careful that we are led by God. Look at Psalm 43, verse 3. And part of it, walking in the light, is that we're walking in the right path. Walking meaning we're going somewhere. But what path are we on? Are we on the path of darkness or are we on the path of light? Psalm 43:3. Look what David said to God. "Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me into thy holy hill and to thy tabernacle. Lord, please let me be led by the light and by the truth." And we as Christians need to make sure this is our desire as well. Lord, I pray that you'll lead me with your light and with your truth. And not let me be led by wrong things. You know, the Bible says of itself, right? Psalm 119:105. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a what? A light unto my path." We're talking here about walking in the light. The Word of God is to be our light. And yet, I can tell you in my 30 years of ministry, I can't even count on all my fingers and toes how many times Christians have come to me, sincere Bible-believing Christians, and says, "Well, this happened, so it's obviously God's leading. This happened, so it's obviously God telling me to do this." And they're being led by circumstances rather than being led by the light, by the Word of God. We have to be careful. You think the devil's not alive? You think he can't manipulate our circumstances to try to lead us astray? Of course he can. And he does it all the time. How many times do we hear of Christians falling by the wayside? They've quit serving God. They've quit going to church. They've given up on reading their Bible and praying. What happened? They stopped walking in the light. And they started being led by darkness. Because when we think the word darkness, we think all this evil and horribleness. No, it means you're being led by the devil and his world and his ways and his helpers. And the devil does not come along with horns and say, "Follow me." The devil appears as an angel of light. Oh, there's that word. Look at it, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. The devil comes along, and when he speaks to us, and when he tries to lead us in a certain direction, he does his best to appear as if he is God. Remember this. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14. "No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of what? Light." We're talking here about walking in the light. The devil comes along and he appears as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:14. And he says, this is the way you should go. I'm God and I'm telling you this. Like I said, I can't even count how many times Christians have come to me and said, well, I prayed about it and this happened, so it's obviously God telling me to do it. Are you sure it's God leading you? Are you sure that just because circumstances went this certain way that God was leading you, that you're walking in the light? Because we have to be so careful about using circumstances as this litmus test of whether or not it's God's will. I had someone the other day say that, and yes, they're an ex-charismatic, but they said, it was a girl saying she wanted to know if it was God's will for her to date this boy. And so she said, I told God if he wore this color of shirt, it was yes. And if he wore this color of shirt, it was no. Now we laugh, but this she genuinely wanted God's will. You know what? I told her, I said, God is not obligated to answer that prayer. And he probably won't. I said, but the devil sure will. The devil will give you whatever color shirt you want. But God's, we're not Gideon, okay? We aren't given permission to put the sponge out and say, Lord, if you fill it with water, then I'll do it. And if you don't fill it with water, then I won't. No, that's testing God. This is finished. Those things happened before it was finished. And so we're to be led by this. So don't test God. Because the devil appears as an angel of light and comes along and says, yep, I hear what you're saying, and you're asking for circumstances to go a certain way, and if they do, it's obviously God's leading, so yep, I'll give you that. I'll lead you in that direction. I'll give you that whatever it might be, that car, that money, that job, whatever. Listen, don't allow the devil to lead you around by the nose with circumstances. Walk in the light. And the light is the Lord Jesus Christ. And thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Nowhere are we told that circumstances are a light unto our path. So I got that out of my system. Go back to our passage, verse 7. Look what it says. We have fellowship one with another. Isn't that good? If we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Amazing me, how many Christians, they want to travel the road to heaven without being around other Christians. They'd rather hang out with the world. I've never been able to understand that. Fellowship, we saw up there in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare in you, you have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with God and the Lord Jesus, the Father and Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, fellowship is important to God. But not just any fellowship, fellowship with fellow light bearers. Amen? That's why he tells us, Hebrews 10, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves. Who's he writing to? Christians. You need to be fellowshipping with one another while you're all walking in the light together. And this is part of it. Does the Bible teach that we're all going to heaven together? Yeah, we're called fellow citizens. Does the Bible teach that we're all working and serving together? The Bible calls us fellow workers, fellow servants. Does it teach that we're to fight the devil together? Yeah, we're called fellow soldiers. So part of walking in the light is who are you walking with? Who do you spend more time with? Born-again Christians, not born-again Christians. Because we're supposed to be walking in the light. And if we walk in the light, he says, we have fellowship one with another. So who are we being led by? Is it God or is it the devil, the angel of light? Or in who are we fellowshipping with? Is it fellow light bearers or non, or people of darkness? Look at Lot. And God says also, if you look at verse 7, people that are walking in the light keep short accounts with God. Isn't that good? The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That is not talking about salvation. The book's already being written to Christians who have salvation. What it's saying is part of walking in the light is verse 9. One of the most well-known verses in the Bible for Christians. What's it say? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That cleansing there in verse 9 is not talking about being cleansed to go to heaven. This is being written to people that already have that. It's talking about the daily cleansing that we need by keeping short accounts with God, by confessing our sins, by not holding on to our sins, that we might keep walking in the light. You know, it's not like the Catholic system where we just wait and store them all up till Saturday night and run to the confessional and try to remember them all. No, as soon as you fail, you confess it. Right then. That's what I mean about keeping short accounts. So you can stay in the light. Because if you don't confess it, what happens? Well, it means you're holding on to it. And the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So now our prayers are going to be hindered. Now we're not fellowshipping with the Lord like we should be. And so before we know it, we're walking in darkness. And so part of it is keeping those short accounts. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Proverbs 28:13. So we must confess all the time. And we must make sure that we are fellowshipping with light bearers, that we're not unequally yoked with the darkness. We must make sure that we are being led by God. And not forget that the devil will appear as an angel of light. So many people think he's going to show up with red horns. And people say, oh yes, I worship you, devil. Nobody does that. I mean, there might be some isolated little group somewhere. No. People worship the devil but think they're worshiping God. That's exactly what's going to happen in the tribulation period. The devil's going to sit on the throne in Jerusalem and claim that he is God. And people are going to believe it and they're going to worship him, thinking they're worshiping God when they're worshiping Satan. He's doing the same thing now. He appears as an angel of light and says, go this way. And so many Christians say, okay, sounds good to me. It's obviously God's will. It's obviously the Holy Spirit telling me to go that way. No, take your time and check it first. Make sure that you're walking in the light. So God says if we have fellowship with Him, if we will be led by Him, and if we will keep short accounts with Him, and maintain that fellowship with fellow light bearers, that we will be walking in the light. Because the contrast, the alternative, is not what we want. Which is verse 6, walk in darkness. And at any given day, it's one or the other. Wouldn't it be nice if we could hear a good sermon and we could go to the altar and we could pray and say, Lord, from this day forward, I'm going to walk in the light. And then that's done. We stay in the light the rest of our Christian lives. It doesn't work that way. You're going to be walking in the light today and walking in darkness tomorrow. Every day is another day that the world and the devil and the flesh are going to try to get us off our path of walking in the light. So we need to be in the book. We need to be on our knees. We need to be in church. And we need to make sure that who we're fellowshipping with and who we're being led by, and we're keeping those short accounts so that we can walk in the light. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for leading us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for giving us your precious preserved word. And Lord, may we allow that word to be the lamp and the light in our lives. And Lord, be ever so weary of the devil trying to be the light and leading us into darkness. And so may we constantly check ourselves, Lord, that we're fellowshipping with you. We're fellowshipping with light. And Lord, that we're keeping those short accounts. Lord, that we're being led by you and your precious word and not being led by the devil into darkness. So protect us, but help us to remain faithful to you. And we thank you for speaking to our hearts this morning. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Since it